radio today, and I'm walking right now with Gigi Edgley from Farscape. Gigi, thank you for giving me a few minutes. I know you're still busy, even though this is Monday morning.
Absolute pleasure, anytime.
Right. Now, you got your beginnings musical theater, among other things. You worked on Les Mis. How did you go from something like that to something like Farscape?
Well, I in Les Mis, I played Madame Thénardier, so she wasn't that far off. Master of the house, like, which kind of thing. So she was pretty much the master of her own little Moya house, Miss Gianna. She has an awesome character to play, and she really gave me a lot of license to just go crazy and be brave and really commit to the moment.
She's one of those characters you could actually go over the top with, which is not something you get to do very often in a role.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just as long as you can't find a truth to initiate that, because if you start doing facilitated or crazy sort of actions or movements and stuff when it doesn't have a reason or source, then it becomes sort of completely unnecessary. So it's always finding that truth to pursue within the scene, and ultimately you're there to tell the bigger story. So as long as you remind yourself that as an actor, to fit into the bigger picture and tell this amazing story that people have created, then I reckon you're on the right path.
Speaking of the actions, the motions, what led to those choices with the character? Why Gianna's got some very decidedly pointed, strange movements. Why did you decide to go with that?
Well, when I put on the makeup and the clothes, and you get a lot for free as Gianna, and that's really awesome. And first day on set, I was actually all dressed up. It took about 4 hours to get into the costume and makeup, and then I was so nervous, and I'd done my voice warm up at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Set that you'll be working on. And I went, what? What kind of show is this? Welcome to the Uncharted Territories. It was completely unbelievable and awesome and amazing. Amazing start.
Do you feel like the makeup helped define the character for you?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Julie Benz played Darlene Angel. She said much the same thing with the facial.
We were looking for sugar. We're on the hunt for sugar on a Monday morning. Sugar. Not Rasslack this time. Sugar.
Now, you came in about middle, near the end of the first season. You're becoming part of an ensemble crew. Now, I know it was still fairly early for them. You were all still meshing together. But what was it like to come in when they've already started getting the chemistry between them and then they inserted your character?
Oh, it was full on, but it was really good to work at it with it. All the sense memory stuff was there because you're coming into a new gang and they all knew each other and they all knew how to work with each other and their tricks to push each other's buttons, and she was always there sort of to test and to put the cheek in there and to manipulate without obviously manipulating, which I think is the worst kind of manipulation when, of course, no, you don't realise you're being, you know, you've got the copper wool pulled over your eyes. So she was amazing. It was a very cool cast to work with.
And another thing, fairly early on, early in the character's role, you spent a lot of time with the puppet, Rigel.
Yeah.
How is that as an actor to try and, you're spending most of your time pretty much acting to a puppet?
Oh man, I miss him so much, by the end of a scene, you'll be looking into his eyes going, are you okay with that? Did you feel that I was there for you? I'm telling you, that's such a crazy, awesome opportunity, to work with such amazing animatronics and creatures, and the puppeteers are so skilled and so tuned in. They're just phenomenal, and quite a lot when you're working with the animatronics you feel even stronger and braver because they're willing to play with you a bit more, whereas quite often you'll get on set with an actor and they've got what they want out of the scene and they've already got their sort of set ideas.
Amazing around the hotel.
Amazing around, very busy, it was just awesome, and it was really weird because one time there was a massive fire in pilot, and the energy on set was so full on. Like, they came and they said, it was A unit and B unit were working, and they came and they said, B unit keeps working, but A unit, there's been a fire on this set. And we went, which set is it? Which
set is it? And they said pilot, and everyone just stopped.
Like, oh, like it was like it was another member of the
cast. Yeah, it was full on. It was really intense. So, but I miss pilot like you a lot.
That speaking of, you had one of the more interesting exercises for an actor. Out of their minds. You and everyone else
pilot
on the set. Yeah, you. Ah. You and everyone else on the set took on each other's. You took on both Lonnie Tupi doing Pilot and Anthony Simcoe doing Dargo. Did you work with them to get there, or did you just know how they normally would act and react in the situation?
I watched a lot of their episodes, and it was a really cool task for an actor to do, to try and mimic and become one of your fellow cast members. And it's at that point that you realise how much effort and how much time they've put into creating their character, because, you know, you every day you go on set and you're so focused about your emotional arc and how to portray it and how it's going to be cut up in the end and making sure that what gels with the other actors, but you forget the little intricacies that they put into every movement, every, and that, like, I figured out with Dargo, all you have to do is go, do not, you don't shorten anything, you don't go don't or won't, and you always goes would not, do not. So it's pretty easy.
What was it like watching Anthony portray Chiana?
Everyone was going, I want to do Chiana, I want to do Chiana. Because I think she's got a few, like, characteristics that you can kind of mimic quite well, as you may have recognized.
Yeah, I noticed him swinging the head a lot, swinging around the tentacles.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely swinging action going there. The pilot was cool too. I'm thinking, how do you play pilot? And I just thought, okay, you've just got to get the first thing about a character you look at is the eyes. So I just figured, okay, strip everything away. What's that look that he holds in his eyes? And then there's the physical nature as well. So that's how I came to get. And the pilot was beautiful. That was really hard. It's very, very weird because you also don't want to. It feels a little bit because it's so foreign to you that you're pulling something part of me out of your God knows what. So you've got to find a really cool, legitimate way of driving it through. So it was awesome that episode. I loved it. Doing the ranty was really hard. I'm like prosthetic.
That's right. Yeah. That later on you had a switch around all over again for the alternate realities. And
so
you,
bizarre.
Everybody had to play other parts again.
Yeah, it was really surreal. I can't even start to describe that one, because like see what. Like, how intense it is to wear prosthetics every day. I was so fortunate with Gianna's makeup. It was so intense.
I mean, you got lucky considering what happened to Virginia and hers.
I know, it's pretty intense, isn't it? And it's very, because there has been no other show shot like that in Australia as well, so there have been no rules. They shoot it like as good as fast a turnaround as a Home and Away or a Neighbours. And it can't be shot like that. So it can't be shot like that because, you know, you've got 3.5 hours of makeup on the set every day. Like stunts, so you've got people doing these stunts with visually impaired and very little sleep as well. So it's an amazing show at that time to learn discipline and learn how, when you get a take, you know, quite often you'd only get $1 because of the makeup with the expert and you've got to spend time in the makeup chair and all this kind of stuff. So you really have to be very focused. So it was pretty cool. It was very cool.
And lastly, what sort of advice would you give to someone who is looking to get into the acting?
Oh, you got to love it and then love it and then love it some more. And be willing to be pushed down and turned over and realise that it's not being pushed down, it's just all a learning process. So there's never any backwards, I don't think, it's always just a little bit sideways.
And eventually willing to be sitting around for hours on end to the point where I hear you're almost losing your voice. Thank you.
Oh, man, that's
even doing this,
pleasure.
Doing this even with your voice going out, that I can understand.
Oh, no, that's completely self-inflicted. Don't worry.
Well,
take a little bit of Chiana rubbed up on me.
Well, Miss Edger, thank you for giving us time this morning. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything coming up soon?
Yeah, I just finished shooting a film, and it's my first feature film, which I'm really excited about. My first really decent role in a good feature film. It's called Last Time of Rio, and it's got 5 characters in the film. And you follow these people's journey on a train ride, and it's like one long scene. So really, it was so surreal going from Fast 8, which was so intense and such a big budget, and so, you know, so many like computer graphics and animatronics and all these things applied, to just be stripped everything away and going on this little train journey with 5 people, and you just have
see it. Get the signature stuff.